Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessings upon this Bible study in the precious name of our Lord, Savior, and our King, and our God, Jesus Christ. We ask that you open our understanding, that we understand your word, the truth, and the scriptures. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, amen. How's everybody doing? All right. Praise the Lord. You know, here, not only do we have many different facets of the Bible or the scriptures at play right before our very hands or our very eyes, but we're also what you would consider to be a teaching ministry. You know, the reason why a lot of people fall into a lot of things that they fall into today or not fall into is simply because the people have not been taught, which I hold fast to the notion that if God's people would have been taught, they would do the things that the Bible says. You see, now here is one of God's, you know, greatest secrets. Because everybody at some point or time in their life, if we've not been a student of the scriptures, at least we believe them and we read them to the best of our ability. That's why the Bible says that it takes the ministering gifts to be able to open up, because the book is a closed book. The Bible, just because somebody carries the scripture around, doesn't mean that they understand them. As a matter of fact, the Bible, falling the mysteries of it, actually teaches the very opposite. It teaches us that the book is closed, and it teaches for us that a man can't understand the scriptures with their own natural ability or their own comprehension. The Bible says that spiritual things that are God are spiritually discerned. That's the reason why God uses this mystery, this great mystery to us. It's like when we hear someone preaching or teaching the word, all of a sudden we get this understanding. We go, okay, well, I understand it. I understand it. Or sometimes you'll get people say, well, I've always known that. And I go, you need to stop that. Because if you've always known it, you would have lived your life to show that you've known it. If you know something, you do it. You just don't give mental assent to it. Is that right? You don't become just hearers only, but you become doers. And you know just as well as I do, y'all know that the American society is probably one of the most damnable societies that there has ever been in the time of history. It has polluted and perverted the mindset of man to the point he don't know where he's coming or going. He don't even know. I'm serious. It's bad. It really, truly is bad. Sister Carol and I was talking as we were going down the road today, how I say, you know, naturally, no doubt about it, and you're talking between myself and her, we've been to a lot of places in our little small allotted lifetime. And I'm not just talking about places in the United States of America. I'm talking about many, many places on this globe. Of course, there's a lot of places we've never been. And tell you, and my personal opinion is I could care less if I ever go there. I just want that place only in Jesus. But I can tell you this, and we was talking about this today as we was driving down the road, that far as the natural man go, the American society is probably the easiest and the simplest society to live in. At the same time, there's also a trade-off. It is also the most corrupt and perverse society that there is. You see, the reason why we have so much trouble in church today is because our mind has difficulty comprehending what this means, because we try to comprehend the Bible based on what we already know. That's why we have so much trouble today. Because we base the Bible what we already know or what we've already learned or what we already been through. And of course, now if we want to learn anything from the Apostle Paul, we can learn this, who was the Pharisee of the Pharisee. Is that right? Benjamite, circumcised the 8th day, the stock of the Hebrews. I mean, if there was anybody had a resume, Paul had it. Paul said this: I count everything that I have ever learned dung. For one purpose only, he said, that I might learn Christ. Yeah. Now, do you understand what he's saying? This man was a doctor of the law. It is not like our doctors and preachers and teachers today. I told you, at least the first five books of the law, they had to know it verbatim. They'd have recall instantaneously, just like that. That's the reason why they were judges in the land. That's the reason why they were Pharisees. Because, see, people are more interested in their spiritual condition then than we are today. You know, there's been a paradigm shift. It's just, there's been a great shift in the spirit to where materialism and naturalism actually reflects to the people in the world what they call how blessed you are or how much God loves you or how much you are approved of God, which is totally contrary to what the Bible preaches and teaches. Are you following me? There are different types of people coming from all different types of society. We can see that God saved rich, God saved poor. God saved the dumb, the stupid, and God saved the well-informed and the smart. Some way, somehow, the Holy Spirit knows how to reach people. Now, the part, you know, the deceiving part is we all think we're smart. Nobody in here will admit that they're dumb. I'm serious. We all believe that we have this great anointing of understanding. Not ever realizing that it usually, or the majority of our understanding, comes from our own natural mind. And then we do like the Baptists do. We try to put Jesus into our natural mind and then call it God. And try to form of God after our own choosing and liking. And of course, we should have known by now that God doesn't tap dance to those games and play those games. So it is true. We have not been brought up in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what religion you've ever been in. It's all been a fallacy and a farce. It's all been built up on lies, on top of lies, on top of lies, on top of lies. There's one good thing about a true building in a home. If it doesn't have a solid foundation, it will crumble. And then we have to make the statement from pillar to post. If you can take one pillar out of a building that is built solid, the whole thing will come down. And that's the same thing we do with these lies that have been taught to us throughout our generations and have been passed down throughout our generation now. It's utterly appalling to me how we all carry around the same book, but yet and still we all have different meanings, different interpretations, different ways. And I keep telling you, the reason why we do that, we do it based on what we already know, and we try to make the Bible say what we know rather than what it says for itself. That's why the prophet said that line must be upon line, upon line, upon line, not opinion upon opinion, tradition upon tradition, ideal upon ideal. It has to come from the Word of God. Amen? And so with all that said, I want to be talking about a few things going on down this alphabet line right here. I'm going to touch a little bit on bitterness, a little bit on curses and envy and jealousy. Somebody said, "Hi, we'll be here all night long." No, we won't. We'll be all night long and all. We'll start in Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verse 3 and 4. Now, brothers and sisters, we're here to get this teaching. And we are here to when we learn something about, or even more wisdom about our God, the intent is that there is a change that will reflect what we have learned in our life. Did y'all hear what I said? The intent is that there will be a change. Now we just sit here and just allow our ears to soak in sound waves and then we do nothing about it. We're here to be examples, living examples of what the Word says. Amen? Because truly we're here to be transformed. We're here to be more like our God. And that's why we come to these Bible services on fourth day night, or starting the fourth day night and on Sabbath during Sabbath service. Because we have made up our mind that we are God's people simply because we keep his commandments. No argument with that. He's given us his Holy Spirit. No argument with that. He loves us before he loved us way before we loved him. No argument with that. And so the only way we can demonstrate our love back to him is through obedience. A man can say he loved God all day long, but if he don't obey God. Y'all remember King David? And King David is a very interesting figure that everyone should also have a little bit of study on, because King David wrote a very vital part of this book right here with his prayers and stuff. And the one thing that everybody and the assembly needs to concentrate on. You see, we don't have trouble with sin. Sin is not the issue and the trouble and the fault among God-seeking people, those who seeking to please their God. The problem we do have is the thing that is overlooked. It is never in our consciousness. And I've been talking about it lately, the last few weeks, which is a wicked way. David, in his prayers, asked God to show him his wicked way. Today, we don't ask God for that. Because if we did, there would be more changes. See, a wicked way is a way that we usually impose upon someone else because it's our own personally held belief, ideal theology that's not accepted by the masses. Yes, things that you call wicked may not be wicked to someone else. You know, a wicked way. I'll give you an example. Sister Carol and I, whenever we go places, and we have to travel, y'all understand that, right? When we go places, we do everything we can to fit and conform to the place that we go to, especially when we're going to someone's house. They always want us back. They want us back because we don't allow a wicked way to disturb the order of things. We actually make ourselves available to them because real true believers want to be servants one to another. Is that right? So we go, if we have to go into the bathroom and in the morning use the bathroom, take a shower, bath, whatever, we clean up behind ourselves. We just don't leave the water in the tub. We don't leave the soap nasty and dirty. That's just things you should do. When we go to whatever house we go to, we don't go and ask what's this and what's that because we already know the house we're going to. We eat what's set before us and we don't ask no questions. Some of us will say, well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. That's a wicked way because that's not nature and character that the Bible teaches. The Bible says, eat what's set before you and ask what? No questions. And it also instructs us to never go eat in a place that something has been offered to sacrifices to idols. So it charts our course. It delivers our course. You understand what I mean? We're not going to leave, if we go to a place, we're not going to leave the bed unmade up. We'll make up the bed. You know, this is, believe it or not, as simple as this thing is, and you may think that it's something that everybody believes collectively, but actions speak otherwise. And we're not saying, by any means, stretch of imagination, that we're any better than others, but we do know how to conduct ourselves when we go to other people's places. And the church needs to know that because some of us don't have that. And that's just a fact. Them are called wicked ways. I mean, we don't go just because we're at another brother or sister's house. Or we're at, let's say, you know, we're getting ready to make a trip to Louisiana at the end of the month, okay? We're going to Louisiana, okay? So, and we've been invited to stay. And that's what we usually do. The Bible said whenever you go to a city, you inquire who thereof is worthy and there abide. Is that not so? So we're going to be at a family's house we've never been at before. So even at going at that house and we know that we're welcome and stuff, we're not just going to go in their refrigerator. I know, believe it or not, brothers, if I don't talk about this, believe it or not, you wouldn't believe what some of us do. And I know that right now everybody was, But I'm just talking about just stuff, you know, just right stuff that is right. We usually try to figure out how they do things because we hadn't forgot that this is their home. And there's already a ruler in the house. Does that make sense? Now, I know this may sound bizarre, it may sound crazy or whatever you want to call it, but I'm speaking the truth. Some of us don't know how to act when we go to places. I'm serious. Now, I just use that as an aspect of wicked way. I can go into the nature of man and how we conduct ourselves one to another on a daily basis. Some of the most trivial and sorry things that there is in life, we make a mountain, we make a little bitty molehill out of a mountain. That's a wicked way. Brotherly love can't continue where there's contentions, and we'll create a contention if there's no contention. That's a wicked way. See, David asked God to cleanse him from this. David asked God, show me my wicked way. David asked God for a created heart, created me a clean heart. David asked God for and renew. He already had the Holy Spirit, huh? And then when you listen to his words, he was actually begging God to take not the Holy Spirit from him. See, today we believe we can act any old kind of way and do any old kind of way, and we don't believe that there is any instant at all that God may take his Holy Spirit from us. You know, we grew up Baptist, and the Baptists say once you got it, you know, God gives you a gift. You don't never take it back. Well, many of us give gifts, and we take it back all the time. See, there is a law and order in heaven, and there's a law and order on this earth. That's why we have this book right here. Because if we didn't have the laws written down, we would be lawless. And no doubt we are lawless. We are without law if we're not following his law. Not making sense? Well, it should make sense. He's giving you ears to hear. It should make sense. So you can just pick out an area. I mean, there's never a time that the spotlight should not be shined upon us. I mean, I had probably 5 or 6 people come to me this past Sabbath and say, "You preached that message just for me." I said, "I hope so." I mean, I had about 5 or 6 people say, "You preached that message." I said, "I hope so." Because the word's for everybody. God's word is the only thing that you can speak one time to a collective group of people, and God knows how to meet every one of them. His word is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents. Now, my question to you is, if you can identify that word for you, what the world are you doing about it? What good is it to sit up there and know the sound of a pen on a glass and you do nothing about it? You ought to see what God says in his word about those who don't do what they should be doing. You ever seen those people that's got intent to say that, "Man, I'll do this, man, I'll do that"? Come time do, they got every excuse in the world from doing something. What does the Bible tell you about that? Huh? That's a wicked way. You need to know that, brothers and sisters. All these accounts that I'm talking about are written right in the Gospels. See, you have to prove your own works. You need to examine your own self. You need to see whether you're in the faith, because you know, we live in a society, we're troubled by authority, especially spiritual authority. Because if somebody come in our face and start telling us that you're in a wicked way or wrong way, first thing we do is we regress. And we begin to justify. Because we assume that a Holy Ghost smile and a laughter and a hug makes us holy. But there's a living to this that brings about the maturity. There's a living to this that brings about the power. They that preach the gospel must live the gospel. That's not only conducive to preachers either. Because he told all of us to go out into all the world. Is that right? And preach the gospel to every creature. He has order and perspective and places for that. I can tell you this, the more you're in tune with your God, the less ashamed you are about his gospel. That I promise you. Proverbs 27, verse 3 and 4 says this: "A stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both." Can you believe that? A fool's what? Wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. Anger is what? Outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? When you hear questions like that, who is able to stand before envy, is letting you know flat out, nobody. Is asking you, is telling you real quick, probably in nobody you know. And I'm starting from the basis of unlearned people. Because someone that understands this book and knows this book and practices and keeps the word of it, they are able to stand before him because they are learned. Well learned and well taught. The only way God's people are destroyed is because of lack of knowledge. We want to make sure that we're not destroyed because of lack of knowledge. If there's something we don't know, we want to find out. Because wisdom is at the door to anyone who wants her. It's available. Amen? So, think about it. It gives us a couple of analogies of how difficult things are. A stone is pretty heavy. And wrath is pretty cool. Is that right? So, it's giving us something to try to associate and comprehend what it's saying. And then the punchline is who is able to stand before envy? You see that? So if the stone is heavy, and we know it is, Is that right? And a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Is that something? And sand is weighty. We know if a stone is heavy and the sand is weighty and a fool's wrath is heavier than them both, and it's starting to get us to the punchline of this interview thing. Hoo-wee. This thing is heavy duty then, isn't it? What do you think about it? You think it's something we ought to pay attention to? Envy is more than just having a longing and a desire for something that we should not have. Envy is more than being jealous at another person's possessions, gifts, thoughts, beliefs, or whatever it may be. It runs deeper than that. And that's what we're talking about here. We know some of the fruit of bitterness. Now, when you hear me say fruit of bitterness, brothers and sisters, we're identifying this as characteristics. In other words, how is it that we, as well taught as we are, how is it that when certain things happen and we see certain natures displayed before us, we go blank in discerning what is happening right before our very eyes? Did I make any sense on that? Who didn't understand that statement? Everybody understood that statement. You didn't?
No, I understood.
Who didn't understand it? When you see an expression of something going on or something not expressed, that carries just as much communication as an expression does. Boy, did I say something wrong? I want to drop the plow. Y'all know my three words: suck, sham, and hypocrisy. That's what we're built on in this society. Speak in circles. Nobody ever says what they mean and mean what they say. We speak hope that you get it. If you don't get it, I'll go get offended. Is that not the society we grew up in? When you see these attitudes being displayed, it says, for instance, fruit of bitterness. All right, we know that there are certain characteristics about bitterness. When we see these things happen, somebody got to be spiritual. When you see retaliation, fury, malice, rage, cruelty, insanity, screaming, spitefulness, control, all these things, you know that bitterness is operating. Do we not? Do we not? You don't know that there's bitterness operating. Dominance, impatience, discontent, quarreling, sadism, violence, hatred, murder. We don't know that these are characteristics or of the character of bitter. All the selves. Self this, self that, self this. Covetousness. Greed, curiosity. We don't know that these are all attributes of bitterness. My question again is, how come we draw blanks whenever these actions are expressing and acting out right in front of us? I don't care who it is. How are we going to help one another if we're constantly defeated in our minds over what's going on, perplexed and puzzled, to the point we get cross-eyed and perplexed? We don't even understand what's going on. Come on, brothers and sisters. A lot of times, every time somebody opens up their mouth, you hear that nature.
Yes, sir.
You hear the issues of life. You hear the issues of life. You know what's going on in the heart. But you have to set yourself to discern good and evil. And I'll tell you the secret, the reason why come we don't pick up on it so easy with others. Because we don't discern the Lord's body, starting with ourselves. When you're honest with yourself, it's easy for you to see everything else. And you'll do it out of a different eye. You'll do it with the ability to help and not to destroy. You understand? Usually if we see somebody falling short or doing something wrong, the first thing we do is we slam them. Now, in our nature, we don't mean to slam them, but we don't do nothing about their nature. Now, come on, brother. So I can preach at the Baptist church about Noah and the animals, and boy, they think they had a, how you say that, brother, like a tear down. They believe, man, they have just broke the seal to understanding. God has called us higher than this, brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. All these spirits network together to show you what's going on in the inner man. Yes, sir. Yeah, sure, we're supposed to let brotherly love continue, but we also need to remember that the enemy ain't going to work. He's doing his job out there, but he ain't thinking about them. He's thinking about us and how he's going to work through us. See, we're here because we have to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is something we have to do all the time. There's a time that you'll never stop growing in Jesus. From the time that you was born and up until this point, have you ever stopped getting older? Then guess what? You never stop growing. Now, you can choose to let your body go on and be aged and your mind stay in adolescence. Mm-hmm. But being born again, we want to constantly be trained up and taught. Is that right? Because we want to help others. That's the whole idea. Amen? Proverbs 6. But we understand the analogy that was given there, right? Proverbs 6, verse 34. Listen very closely. For jealousy is the rage of a man. We can see anger, and we can say, okay, that's anger. But how many people can discern what is the intent of the anger? If you can categorize what the anger is for, or the rage is for, then you'll be better and suited, more suited to help your brother or sister. Now, that's not a guarantee that they're going to hear you. But it is your job, according to Ezekiel, the third chapter, you deliver your soul. You ever felt a weight up on your soul about something? You didn't know if it was right or wrong. You didn't know if you need to. You're very apprehensive about going out and actually doing what you believe to be right. I've always told people here, don't worry about that. Go do it. You'll find out real quick if you're right or wrong. Just don't be scared of it. See, how in the world are you going to find out anything unless you get some experience? You afraid to fall on your face because you're too busy saving face? In case y'all don't know what that is, them are the fiery darts. Them arrows that stick in the wall at comments that come like that. We were supposed to be here to provoke, brothers. So this is what we're trying to do, really. We got to stop this choosing to humble ourselves when we decide to. Hallelujah. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of what?
Vengeance.
He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest him many what?
Yes.
You'll be giving him gifts to pacify him, right?
Yeah.
Giving him gifts to calm him down, to cool him down. Is that right? Jealous people are not interested in reconciliation because they're jealous. They're not interested in reconciliation. They're only interested in what they got in their mind and what they believe working. Have you ever approached someone and poured out your heart to them and did it before them and just laid it out before them? And they had a jealous spirit. And instead of ransoming their jealousy, they ravage you. Instead of reconciling, they seek for an advantage or revenge. You never approached these spirits before. Right? Don't worry about if it hurts. Say, oh me. Oh my Lord. Call on him. But these are very real things that go on, brothers and sisters. Things that are never really even talked about. The scorner retaliates when reproved, yes or no? He can't help do it because he's a scorner. That's what lets him know he's a scorner. Now, a scorner don't know he's a scorner. It's going to take someone spiritual who knows and learns how to discern the Lord's body to recognize a scorner. Again, we're not there to recognize the scorner because the scorner is there and we're trying to destroy him. We're trying to inform them. And the whole idea is us, after we inform them, is to sit back and wait to see if they can understand it or not. You understand that? This is how the body of Christ grows up. I had somebody some time ago, I'm not going to mention any names, Lucy Webb. She said to me, she said, why come it always seems like that you just talk about negative stuff? I said, sister, that's your understanding, perception. Everything I talk about is positive. Let me ask you a question. What? Why do you look at everything in a negative light? She goes, that could be my problem. I said, I didn't say it. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And didn't hear nothing else from her. She's one of our internet, you know, our shortwave radio broadcast supporters. As far as I know, she may have got it. In other words, why do you look at everything in a negative light? When God gave his commandments, is that negative?
No.
Thou shalt not steal. Man, God, why you got to be so negative? Is my creation talking to me like this? Am I telling the truth? It's just, amen, brothers and sisters. But it's also a pleasant thing to reprove a wise man. Amen? Jealous people cannot accept reason. Each time you buffer your comments with kindness, you know, you try to put a little sugar on top of them, they have an evil retort for you. Man, they always just, now, my question is, how come we don't know this? We find ourselves right in the midst of life and these things happening, and we draw blanks. I mean, we draw flat out blanks. Just literally perplexed. We have to stop this. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Usually a jealous person, when you're done with them, they try to get even with you. Yes or no? I mean, come on, think about this for a second. Like, hey, look at this. When you reprove the scorner will slander you to every person that will listen. You ain't never reprove someone, and then as soon as they get out of your sight, they go look for somebody else to agree with them. What spirit is that? A scorner. How is it that we draw blanks whenever the scorner come? Come on, brothers and sisters. How is it that we draw blanks? Come on. You might as well just chalk this up that a scorner is also a jealous person. Same characteristics. Full of envy. Why does the scorner go and look for somebody else to agree with them? Because they're looking to recruit others for their team. All church splits are born out of that. Everybody of them. Amen. Hey, I'm serious, brother. So a jealous person is a very dangerous person. Amen. I'm going to read you something by a man. That I had Carol to print out of a book. Everybody go, what's the book? I'm reading it. Where you get it? Well, how you gonna get this if you can't get what, if we can't get what we've been talking about all night long? The Bible, this ain't last day, knowledge shall be increased. That don't mean you gonna have any of it. That means it did say it's gonna be increased though. All knowledge is not good knowledge. So don't get offended. You don't want to know all knowledge. You only want to know the knowledge of the Lord. Isn't the tree in the garden good and evil? Was it not a tree of knowledge? Is that what the book says, brothers and sisters? And that tree carried certain things, didn't it? Two of them, good. and evil. So all knowledge is not good knowledge. So then again, well, Pastor, why in the world are we talking about the evil and the devil? Again, why are you looking at stuff in a negative light? For instance, you don't see me up here giving a class to men how to be a pimp. That's not good knowledge. And I don't know how anyway. But that ain't good knowledge. So therefore, we don't teach that nonsense. Now, making sense? You know, sometimes I just got to give some practical examples and stuff. You know what I mean? And you don't see Sister Carol trying to get them to teach the women how to be hoochie mamas. That ain't good knowledge. That is not good knowledge. So we don't teach that knowledge. Now, there's a whole big old arena of that kind of knowledge that we just abstain and stay away from. We'll stay with the knowledge of the holy. So we can be holy. How about that? I'm going to read this. You want to hear it? I'm going to read this. Good. I'm going to tell you, this is good. Listen to what he has to say. Because you know the only reason why I would read what another man has written is because it comes from the spirit of truth. Y'all ready? A man may be so jealous of his wife that she can hardly breathe without arousing his jealousy. She can't even talk innocently with another man or look at him. Sometimes this type of jealousy and envy even results in abusive talking or abusive stalking. Occasionally, jealousy and envy rage so strongly they lead to murder. Such a scenario shows that the love that might have existed in the beginning either was really not love or became infected with the root of bitterness. Sometimes love is not love at all, but a lustful fantasy. Impure love builds on a set of false expectations and is not scriptural love. Jealousy and envy says, I'm interested in this one. If I can give a quote, what jealousy and envy says. If I can't have you, no one else will. I will kill you and them too if I have to. The media reports just such outcomes every day. Infidelity can arise out of a spirit of jealousy. The wife looks like an old sea dog. She doesn't care about satisfying me anyway. Now you got all the looks and charm of that good-looking guy like me deserves. Did that make any sense? Let me read it again. Let me get the quotes in here. My wife looks like a old sea dog. What is a sea dog? That's pretty bad. Because I ain't never seen a cute dog. I know that me and you may differ, but I've never seen a cute dog. She doesn't care about satisfying me anyway. Now you got all the looks and charm that a good-looking guy like me deserves. Though both men and women can be adulterers, the breach caused by a woman's infidelity is more serious than the man's is. This is not to diminish his sin. Rather, it's because a man's blessing or cursing of his wife is of a special concern to God. In God's order of things, he chooses to give more permanent power to the man's curse or blessing than that of the woman. A woman can create a situation that the devil will use, but when the man in authority takes and makes a declaration or a statement of intent, it has a greater potential for demonic abuse than the woman's statement. When the woman screams, "I hate you, I want to see you dead," it is serious. When the man screams out the same words, it stirs Satan's stew pot of demonic activity, and evil intent often leads to evil actions. This is another one of those added responsibilities God assigned to men. We see about 90% women in our ministry. Men tend to let emotional things roll off and don't dwell on them to the same extent a woman does. A man may vent his anger loudly and aggressively, but within a few minutes, he's done with it. A woman tends to live in an angry stew for days. God created women to be responders to their husbands. A lot of this sounds just like what we hear all the time, though, huh? Anyway, men who fail to unselfishly love their wives, who lash out and curse at them, bring devastation into their hearts. And that's the truth. Do we not talk about that around here? Another reason we minister to more women than men is that women are much more willing to come humbly before God and deal with their issues in their life than men. Do we not talk about that? I say, yeah, that's because men are full of hell and prideful. That's just a different way of putting it. What are you laughing at, Brother Ed? It's the same thing, though. Men are prideful. That's the reason why they don't come. Whereas you may have a woman who would carry something for a few days, a man let it roll off the back, a man will keep his pride. And a woman will get rid of it. Amen. Anyway, let me go on, 'cause I don't want to get to preaching while I'm in noon. Because this is good stuff. Men usually have too much pride and arrogance to admit that they even have a problem. Ain't that true, men? Mm-hmm. It is important to understand that God considers all sins equal. Even the smallest sins separate us from our God, from our perfect God. Now we understand. Yeah, all sins are considered equal in God's eyes, but here on the earth, each sin carries different weight. Yes, it does. You ever seen a thief get AIDS? No. He ain't going to get AIDS from stealing a glass of water, stealing somebody's car. Because there's a different law here on this earth that applies to it. But however, from here to heaven, there's a different translation, because sin is sin in God's eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to the King. Amen. You don't see men suffering from gonorrhea for keeping the commandments. You got to sin to go get gonorrhea. Boy, are we sleeping or what? We just can't get no response out of nothing. Is this too high? I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. So there are different weights, different measures for laws here on this earth. Each one of them carry a different weight, but in glory, they all the same. They sin. And all sin separates you from God. So don't try to sit up here and jump from earth to glory and you still got your feet here. You stop sinning. Amen. This makes sense. At least it does to me. Adultery is no greater sin than creating strife. It's the truth. It is the truth. We put weight on it, don't we? We think we God. All right? In Jesus, all sins are forgiven save one, the unpardonable sin, which is, you know, in Matthew 12:31. Is that right? Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be given among men, but he that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit shall be no forgiveness in this world, this life or the world to come. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. All right. Matter of fact, he goes into some of this. In civil and criminal law, if we break one law, we are called a lawbreaker, no matter the seriousness of our crime. But human law meets out differing punishments for different crimes based on how grave they are. Key word, human law. Is that right? The Bible teaches that if we're guilty of breaking one law, we are a lawbreaker. James say we're guilty of them all. Does he not? And we're convinced of the law as transgressors. See, when we realize sin is sin in God's eyes, you know, we wouldn't try to put so much what we call righteous esteem judgment on our little judgments of these little things down here. We just do it like God. Just, man, it's just staying away from every bit of it, because all of us going to carry the same weight in his eyes. Amen. I'm sorry, folks. A person who worships idols ain't going to die from AIDS. That's a law for this earth. You understand what I mean? But both of them are sinning. Amen? So it makes no difference which one you're doing. Hallelujah. Greed will probably get you thrown in jail. Huh? Is that right? Breaking the Sabbath day down here ain't going to carry no great consequences for you. People do it every day. Live 70, 80, 90 years. Wait till they get to glory. James said you offend in one, you're guilty of them all. And then he went and quoted the actual commandments. See, don't worry about saving everybody else. Save yourself. Forget about what everybody else doing. You make sure you're doing right. I think I've just done beat this dog enough by now, right? Well, I'm sure we understand the difference in sins here on this earth and sins in glory. Up there, sin is a sin is a sin is a sin, no matter how great or small you may view it. Down here, sin is a sin is a sin, but each sin carries different consequences and weight in the eyes of man. Even God has made provisions of that in his book. There used to be a time if you had a rebellious son, we take him outside the gate and we just throw him. Mother and father would go straight to the priest. We can't do nothing with him. Son or daughter, we can't do nothing with him. You can't do nothing with him. Man, we tried everything. Can't do nothing with him. Bring him on up here to the quick. We're going to take care of this real quick. That was the law for being rebellious against your parents. He stoned you. I tell you what, if that same law was still enacted today, you know how many rebellious children we'd have? Because all the ones that would be and determined to be rebellious, they'd be dead. That's motivation. If we turn around and cut the thief's hands off, you know how many people would steal? Don't tell me it ain't never into your mind when you start walking around, you start looking around this earth and see people carrying one hand, you're going to know what happened. And if we had that same thing, believe it or not, they do that in other countries still till today. They sure do. They'll cut your hand off in a heartbeat. They'll take a grown man and flog him right out in the town square. But we're Americans. We're civilized. Somebody said, Pastor, you act like you agree with it. I say, well, I'll tell you what, I do know this. It would be a lot less sinning in America if some of these old covenant things were still instituted today. See, whether people get it or not, if they can't perceive it with their own spirit, they'll sure get it naturally. They'll hear that voice. I better not do that. Some will talk to us. You know, sometimes we like pleading dumbness. I know. You know how much people would get some knowledge all of a sudden? It's just the truth, brothers and sisters. Now, let me tell you something. That's the reason why you need to the law and to the testimony. Somebody read Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony. Jesus said, think not I come to destroy the law or the prophets. Is that right? Is that right? He wants us to read these things. You got it, Brother Ed? Read that, brother. Wow. So if I'm, come on. First we got the law. We got the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes or no? And if I'm up here or any brothers up here speaking not according to this what word? Read on. There's a reason why there ain't no light in them at all. So either I'm up here preaching from the word and there's light or it's dark. There's no two ways. When a brother is up preaching or teaching, it's either light or darkness. No two ways about it. No two ways about it. So we're going to go to the law and to the testimony. We're going to get them from both sides of the fence. And we're going to weigh and judge this thing by the law and by the testimony. And if any man speak not according to this book, it is, there's a cause. Because there's no light in him at all. See, all these things are things you need to know. You really need to let these scriptures, these things, sink down into your heart. Because you need to know how to answer folks, brothers and sisters. Go to Jeremiah 30:13. See, now y'all got me back in my old apostolic days now. Jeremiah 30:13. This would be something that should be imprinted on your mind. Embedded. Go ahead, Brother Rich.
There is none to plead thy cause.
You ain't got nobody to take up for you.
That thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine.
Ain't no healing medicines on this land. Amen. Not a one. See, this is the thing. It's got to be there. You need to know that. Because if you're going to deal with somebody that's a believer out there, they're going to need to know that you know what you know what you're talking about. And sometimes people, they, you know, they we know faith come by hearing, but a lot of people, I don't want to see it. But seeing ain't believing. But if I can speak it to you and then you say you believe what his word says, and I say, all right, you go there, turn there. That's, you don't have to know the whole book. Just know what you're talking about. You got the spirit of truth. Is that right? Anyway, let me read a little bit more. Satan deceives us about this. Many adulterers are so filled with guilt that they have made adultery the greatest of all sins. Has not our society done it? Still ain't stopped people from doing it, though. Unable to rid themselves of guilt. Now, that's a good statement he made. Unable to rid themselves of what?
Guilt.
Do we talk about guilt around here, yes or no?
Yeah.
Do we not talk about guilt around this place? Now, let me ask you a question. Why do we talk about guilt around this place? Because we want you to feel guilty?
No.
Thank you very much. We talk about guilt so you can recognize it when it comes. So you'll know what to do about it if it comes or when it comes, even if you're wrong. So you'll know what to do so you can go to your God and get free.
Yeah.
A lot of times we've been guilty and didn't know how to handle it.
There you go.
Guilt just put us over in a corner. And anytime we want to rise up and say, praise the Lord, get your tail back down over there again.
Amen.
Guilt will let you know you're an unworthy sinner. You go and sit down, shut up. You ain't telling nobody nothing. Sit, shut, sit, sit, sit.
Amen.
Oh, boy.
Amen.
I'm talking about real stuff, brothers and sisters. Am I not talking about real stuff? I'm talking about real stuff, brothers, that people deal with on a daily basis. It's good for us to know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in the furnace and in the fire, wasn't they? That's good. What the good is that going to do for you, though? It's good to know those stories. I need some practical application for my living. That's what I need. You tell me, what has Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did a lick for your faith? Nothing. Good to know the story, though, because you know that it did something good for somebody else's faith, but that didn't help you none at all. What helps you is when you get it. And when God becomes real to you and he starts delivering you, now you got a story to go tell. You can tell the stories of your brother and sister. Say, oh, that's good. That's good to talk about how Jesus raised Lazarus, but what about the dead we got sitting in pews? Who gonna raise them up? That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Living dead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, that's good stuff. That's good that God healed a woman with a spirit of infirmity, but what about all the infirmities we got sitting right here? Is he changed? No! See, we're talking about practical application, brothers and sisters. Talking about living testimonies, getting real with God. Hallelujah. So you change his way of thinking, it helps you. Let me go on. Satan accuses them even more, and they abandon the hope for ever finding forgiveness for any sins. That's the whole, ain't that the reason why Satan would do it? Yep. Hope, I don't care what you do. His hope is that you never come to forgiveness for any sins. Stay down with that guilt, shame, and condemnation. That's what he wants you to do. Huh? We need to understand that this is not scripturally true. Every sin has the same eternal consequences. Is that right? Every sin opens a door for Satan to find a place in us, to produce disease in our bodies and conflict in the soul. Good words. Good words. Good words. This brother Art right here. Good words. That's good words. 1 Corinthians 6:16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is of one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Do he not say that? This is called a soul tie. Is that right? Is it not? Yeah, it is. If you don't want to call it soul tie because you can't find soul tie in the word, put it soul knitted together. Amen. Let's go to Numbers. Look at this. Numbers 5:14. That's the reason why God wants people to get married. You ain't got to worry about all them sexual diseases. Oh, boy. Numbers 5:14. The spirit of jealousy came upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy came upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. You hear that? Based on conditions here. When a wife is caught in adultery, a spirit of jealousy often rules the husband. If there's a child born out of this illicit sexual relationship, then the spirit of jealousy often transferred to the innocent child. Satan uses the father's spirit of jealousy and envy as grounds to attach himself to the wife and the children. The spirit of jealousy and envy is common between two or more females competing for male approval. The competition arises out of a sense of insecurity. Daughters compete with each other for dad's approval or either with mothers. Jealousy, the way that he treats her as compared to them. Women competing to win the same suitor run the risk of developing deep-seated jealousies or bitter envy. This kind of jealousy often follows rejection by the father, husband, or lover, because the rejection the woman feels is terribly insecure. No foundation for trust exists in marriages or relationships dominated by jealousy. To resolve these conflicts and restore a loving relationship, we need time with the Lord to get our heart right concerning ourselves. It always goes back to ourselves, don't it? It always goes back to ourselves. And we need to deal with our past as well as the present situation. And if we need to forgive or to be forgiven, it must take the high priority in our lives. Sometimes going back to an ex-husband or ex-boyfriend or seeking forgiveness isn't possible, and it may even be dangerous. Don't we not teach that here? Do we not teach that? I like this because this is another good witness. Still, you do not need to take personal responsibility for allowing the spirit of jealousy into your life and for feeding it. If you were an innocent victim in a sorry situation, we may not need to be forgiven. In these cases, people usually internalize the situation and blame themselves for the sins of others. Anybody ever done that before? You blame yourself for what somebody else done? That devil don't care, as long as you blame yourself. Amen? Let me read a little bit more and we'll close on up, all right? If we have believe this lie of the devil, we need to repent for believing the lie and forgiving those that have hurt us. That's the biggest thing right there, forgiving those that have. A lot of times you think people done hurt you, it's really you done hurt yourself through your own ignorance. your own rejection of knowledge and truth and lack of. I'm serious. The Bible teaches that a man who's made perfect in love, a man has knowledge. The reason why we're not made perfect in love is because we reject all of God's knowledge. Knowledge teaches us everything. Knowledge of God teaches us how to behave, walk, talk, perceive. It's kind of hard to offend a man full of love. Kind of hard to offend a man full of love. Kind of hard to offend a man that is full of love. How many times did I say that, Grand? About four? I got about 28 more times ago, 27. It is kind of hard to offend a man who is being made perfect in love. Hallelujah. If we believe this lie of the devil, we need to repent for believing a lie and forgiving those that hurt us. Still, we can be plagued with temptation that comes out. We can be plagued with temptation that comes because of actions, our mother, grandmother, or someone else in our family tree. The spirit of jealousy may have been working our family tree for generations. If tormenting thoughts plague us with temptations, even though our own behavior has been clean, we have inherited them. Don't that sound like us? I like this, because we teach this stuff. You can tell he educated, though, because he talk a whole lot better than I do. He give it to you nice and smooth. I give it to you, too, just right between the eyes. Ping! Now God going to damn me for giving to you right between the eyes, right? Uh-uh. You ever thought that the reason why that God gave you me as your pastor is because you're hard-headed? Brother Ed, boy, he been laughing the whole time. But Brother Ed just like, oh, Lord. You never thought about that? You may have thought yourself to be something. Eloquent. Beautiful. Fascinating. Stunning. I tell you what, God got you here because you needed a hard head in front of you. A head harder than yours. Mine pretty hard. You can ask Sister Carol, she'll tell you. Yeah, you, Ashley. Hard head. Mine harder than yours. Look at her looking. Look at Caleb. Well, I got your attention on that one, didn't I? Undivided. Now I ain't look off. All right. Anyway, we'll finish with this one right here. All right. Look, brothers and sisters. If there's been something that's going on in your life, you're clean from, you're free from, but yet and still you've been tormented by thoughts of it, then this is some type of spirit you've inherited in through the generations, just break the curse. Flat out break the curse. Don't be bound by that. Break the curse. How you do it? Man, you got the name of Jesus. You know how to pray. Open up your mouth. Amen. We may have to deal with several generations before winning this battle. It is extremely important to identify and break generational curses to deliver our children from the consequences. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Is that right? But the gift of God is eternal life. Is that right? This principle remains unchanged. Through Jesus Christ, you will receive the power to break the bonds and the spirit of jealousy to bring life to your family. Spiritual cleansing such as greatly pleases God as evidenced in numerous Old Testament stories. There we read the entire families being blessed for the repentance of one member. And entire families being killed because of the sin of one member. Choose life for your family. That's the truth. That's the reason why I tell you, brother, it's good for you to read these. Man, you get some preachers that know how to preach these accounts in his old testament. They can bring the old covenant. They can bring it right on out to you. Make it practical, right, for every day. Reason why they went through, why they going through all this and stuff, and what Jesus is doing for us today for it. We're blessed. Anyway, we hope you learned something. Hope we didn't intrude upon your time. We know that it's precious. Yeah, brother. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. May your truth go with us throughout all our day and the rest of our lives. We bless you for all things, Jesus, and live for you. Amen. Y'all be at peace, saints. Bless you.